I'm Mike, a compulsive overeater, and the first thing they always told me to do from day one was to qualify, and especially now it's more important because I'll forget. So I'm Mike, compulsive overeater, and I walked in these rooms 300 pounds and miserable in January of 1983. So it's 39 years. And I've been maintaining about a little over 100 pound weight loss. And I'm very grateful for that. But I always put the disclaimer at the end. Except for being married, this is the longest I've done anything in my life. I was good at quitting things. And it's because of, the relationship or connection I developed with my higher power and the program and the people in these rooms that I've been here and been able to stay and be abstinent. My abstinence goes back to the first year, sometime in the first year I was in program. And so I'm just, I have a lot of gratitude for that. I'm going to try and tell you what it's like, how I got here and what it's like now. And I was, born 5 minutes short of St. Patrick's Day in 1948. And believe it or not, I had a problem eating, And so, I'm just trying to set the pattern for food in our house. Food was love, and believe me, I'm not blaming my parents at all, because I never remember turning down any food except for peas. That's the one thing I set the limit at, but I caught on to the habit really quickly. And even though I didn't, as I grew up, for one thing, my parents, things were could get pretty crazy at our house. And, I would say dysfunction was kind of the order, and mostly my father. Both my parents served in World War II. My dad was in the Army. My mother was a Navy nurse and they're both out in the South Pacific. So, and I think today my dad would have been diagnosed with, what is that, PTSD or something, because he had a terrible temper. And so I always walked around the house feeling like I was walking on eggshells. So the one thing, I did not gain a lot of weight until after high school, because I was so active in sports. And I was always doing some sport during the year, and that went on through high school. But then after high school, I stopped being so active, and I started not doing any exercise. So from there on, it was a yo-yo up and down until I came into this program. I would gain a bunch of weight, and then I'd lose it, and then I'd gain a bunch of weight, and a lot of people know what that's like. And I always thought I had control over my food because I could always lose weight. But then I kind of hit a bottom the year before I came in the program in 1982. I just hadn't gotten it. One weight loss group, I lost 75 pounds. I thought, I got it made. I hit goal weight, and how did I celebrate? I went out and ate a big meal. So it was just insane thinking. And I really felt desperate that last year, and I had all the craziness of my brain, I tried at least one diet a week, probably more. And a lot of times I couldn't make it past noon on the first day. And so I just, I battled with food. And when I look back, it was, even though I wasn't heavy, I was still a compulsive overeater. Because, my family still kind of laughs at me, because I can tell you what meal we had at what holiday, going way back. And, When I think back in the holidays, like I said, I could think of what the food was, but I couldn't tell you who was there or what if I got a gift. That was my obsession, food, and that went on right up until the time I came in the program. And so I came in my first meeting. It was January, and it was of course a, it was in a basement of a church, and I heard a person speak, and they shared this person had come in, lost a lot of weight, and then gone back out, and she shared what she had to go through with that, and I sat there, and I just I said, well, I'm not like that, that's she, she's crazy, I'm not. So that night, I walked when I left the meeting, I walked out to my car, and I opened the door, and she had talked about this too, going through drive-throughs and her putting stuff in her car, and my car was full of empty, wrappers and pop bottles and everything else. And I think that's when I started working step one of the program, and then I did some things that were not like me at all. When I, they told me to get a sponsor and start working the steps, and I didn't have a better idea. Up until that point, I wanted to have control over everything, which I, to now I realize isn't possible for a compulsive, a person who's addicted. And and I just, oh, it just, I couldn't drive home from work without stopping somewhere to get something to eat. And then I'd come home and I'd lie and say, well, I'm hungry, what's for dinner? And back then I wasn't making a lot of money, and I spent a lot of family money on food, and I had some amends to make about that. And I wasn't the big thing, even worse, bigger than that, was the fact that I wasn't there sometimes for my family. I was either thinking about what I was going to buy to eat, or what time dinner was, or if we had company, are the people going to leave food for me, or are they going to, or damn them, or are they going to take it home? So I just found it that, it just was constant. And that's, and of course, all we know, we, most of us know, it's just, it was the same insanity day after day after day. That old thing about, and I was terrible at making decisions. I had a terrible, I just had a very low self-esteem, and I had a lot of fear and resentments. Those are the two things I remember. I also remember eating over them, and those were the things that controlled my life, my, and my emotions. And I had no idea what to do with that. None whatsoever. So I came in the program and I got a sponsor. When I came in my first meeting, there was maybe one or two guys, and that was it. That was back in '83. So there was very few men in the program. So I had an older lady who sponsored me, and I did what she told me. I started working the steps, and like I said, I started working step one the first night. And she walked me through the steps, and we used, at the time, I think, believe we used the Westminster questions, which are 24 questions that lead you through the first three steps of the program. And they're still around. If you Google them, you'll find them. For me, it was a good way to work the first three steps. There wasn't much in the way of OA literature back then. There really wasn't. So they were helpful. And then I also, once I'd gotten through the third step, I got through the third step, and I actually went in into church one day and nailed down and tried to, and turned it over, my food. And there wasn't like an immediate rush there or anything, but I just a lot of that compulsion left. I'm not saying I don't still have the food talking to me at times, but a lot, the major part, that insane compulsion where I just felt like I couldn't stop eating, and I couldn't, didn't know what to do with it. That kind of left. I knew I had support, if I turned to a higher power. And so Let's see, join tennis sponsor. Steps 24. Okay, step 4. So I when I'm working the steps, and I remember when I worked, and I've worked the steps a number of times, gone through them a number of times over the years, and but the first time I worked step 4 and 5, some people gave me some pretty good advice. There used to be a lot more people getting together after meetings to have coffee and stuff, and I just don't see that much anymore. But of course, we're on Zoom; it's kind of hard. So unless we all get a cup of coffee and sit here, but anyways, we just they gave me some good ideas because I was kind of, well, I was kind of fearful of writing step 4, and the one person suggested, think of the worst thing you feel like you've done and put it on top of the page. And that worked good for me because I was able to, put that down. I looked at it and said, that's like not a big deal, So I was able to, go through step 4 a lot more easily after that happened. And also a person told me, you're not trying to make it perfect because none of us is going to do a perfect 4th step. He said, at least he didn't know anybody ever did a perfect 4th step. But they, don't make it a novel, All you have to do is put down, go through it once and put it down, and then turn it into someone and to read it, to look at your 4th step and as a part of step 5, of course. And I did the steps, and then I started getting active in the program, and I did the service, and because somebody also said, if you want to keep your recovery, you need to share it. You need to reach out to people and help. And whenever I can today, I do service. Over the years I've done, I was secretary a number of times at meetings for a year, and but even the little things, we don't do it anymore, but setting up chairs, or just reaching out to somebody and give them a call. Sometimes that's still hard for me. I forget to call people, but I try to reach out more now. Just a simple phone call, even if you don't talk to them, it's just a reminder that, they have friends, and they're in OA and they have support. So those are some of the things I do. And it's interesting because it seems like when I something's going on in my life, the service is put in my path. I just have to, take it. Some years ago, my mother passed away, so I missed one Monday of our Monday meeting, and I came back the next week, and they said, "Congratulations, we elected your secretary." So I said, "Okay, God, I get the message. I guess I need this." And when Joe asked me to speak tonight, and I'll explain it later, but this is a very, it's a rough weekend, and I'll get into that towards the end. But so I needed to do some service, and I was grateful to be able to do this tonight. I want to thank everybody for being here to share, because I am really, it's all, we're all in the same boat, kind of, it's just wonderful to see all these people, at a meeting, and we're all here for the pretty much the same reason. So, okay, let's see. So how do I work my program? The physical part, I went, my abstinence is 301. I'm not completely sugar free, but there are foods that I do not eat, and I keep the sugar at a very low level. And that's worked for me, because my main problem was quantity more than anything. I just would, there was no off switch. I would just keep eating until I mean, there are many times I ate until I got sick. And if that's not crazy, I don't know what is. And I don't have to do that today. And I don't have to spend all the time thinking about food and what I'm going to eat or who's taking the food home. And it was amazing. I came in January, and the first holiday that I celebrated abstinently was Easter. And it was so different. It was 180 degrees different. It was so great to be able to talk to people and be present in the room instead of, out there thinking about something was going to happen a few hours from now, a meal or, and I just, it was amazing. And I've been able to celebrate so many holidays since then, absolutely. And I certainly get a lot more enjoyment out of doing it like that than, being in a food frenzy. So that too is something that I don't miss, and I don't want to go back there. But let's see. My, like I said, 301, three moderate meals, nothing in between. But I don't make big adjustments, although I've had to make some adjustments over the years with my food, and one of which was my cholesterol was getting up a little borderline so high. So the doctor said, I'm going to put you on medication. I said, well, why don't you wait a few months and let me, just change what I'm eating. And when I came back the next time, I got serious about my food, and my food had, my cholesterol had dropped like 30 points. And he says, and I got to do a little 12-step him too, because he said, usually when I tell people say that and I come back the next time, I have to put them on the medication. He says, you're a rarity. I said, well, and I told him a little bit about OA and what it's done for me. So that was a number of years ago. The other thing was I had to go on a low salt diet, and this was not too long after I changed to a healthier eating. And I just the reason being that I had vertigo, and so there was not a serious problem. But I said, man, I just went to a low fat diet, and now I have to do low salt. And I said, oh, I says, I don't know if I can do this. So meanwhile, our men's group, our local men's group, we had developed a blog that we posted our food on. So, well, I was treating it like watching TV. I'd watch, but I wasn't participating. So, was that half measures avail us nothing? In this case, I was finally forced. I thought about posting my food to somebody, but now I do it on a regular basis. And it really helped. It really made it, it just makes me more accountable. I don't, I don't know if it's for everybody, but I just feel it helps me to stay absent. And so I'm grateful for that. And time to turn the page. If I only had to talk for 20 minutes, I could probably remember it all, but I can't, so I have to look at the notes. So bear with me. So, all right. So I was, about 8 or 10 years in the program, and I ran into a problem with anxiety. They were talking about layoffs at work. And, well, I worked for a park system, local park system, and I was a surveyor. And, my physical recovery was great. I mean, because when I was 300 pounds, I had, as a surveyor, I'm hiking up and down a lot of hills and stuff, and there was days I, it was rough, I was just carrying so much weight around, and there was days I had trouble staying awake, just staying awake, So, I was relieved of all that when I, had physical recovery, spiritual, the emotional recovery, the anxiety. because of the recovery I had and my self-esteem, I really believe has gotten much better. I was, when I was having anxiety, I was actually willing to go take care of it because I didn't take care of myself before I came into the program. I wouldn't go to the doctor. I blew stuff off, but because of that, this time, I sought outside help, and I was, went to see a counselor for a while, but one of the things that really helped me the most was I probably had heard this many times before, but I was at a meeting and somebody got up and said, we need to work the 12 steps in all areas of our life. And then the light went on. It's like, like a lot of people, when I came in, food was my main focus, but these steps I have to use them in my life. And so it's important for me to be, and today I think I'm better, but I'm not perfect. There's times I still, won't surrender something, or I just, I start to get a resentment with somebody, and those steps are for me. They're there for me to work in my life. So that really makes a difference. And I'm just really, at the time, I'm not working anymore, but I was proud of myself because I could drive to work without calling somebody a four-letter word. It just cut me off. So that was a plus, So, but that was just a little thing. I mean, there was a lot of, just a lot of things that it changed because of that. And the let's see, and now for the physical and emotional, the anxiety. Well, because just the result, the anxiety. I ended up on some medication, but I did take care of it, and I found ways, natural ways, to also, to not be as anxious. And I'm still working on that. But it's been, it's been very good lately. I'd still be crazy if I hadn't been willing to take care of myself. The one other thing was in the spiritual recovery, I left church. It's kind of funny. I did a complete circle, and I'll explain it. I left the church I was in, and I remember I used to come home from, well, I was supposed to be coming home from church, but I was, my mom would ask us if we went to church, and I'd say, I went to St. Bob's. Well, the St. Bob's I went to was Bob's Big Boy. So anyways, and it was over something very minor. It wasn't any big deal. It was just something somebody said to me, a priest or a nun. And it's like, so for the next 12 years, I figured, well, I can play God myself. And I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. That was one of the most miserable times of my life. I mean, I had no guidance. I never stopped believing there was a God. I just didn't think he wanted to talk to me. It's like, I just found myself floundering in that area of my life. It was so I came back, and I came back, and I started going back to ch church first, but when I came in the program, it's where I learned to have spirituality, or have my higher power, which I call God, on a daily basis. And that's so important in my life today. It's unbelievable. And it's also, I can still remember my first spiritual experience. I was laying on the couch on a Sunday morning, and my wife came down the stairs, Alice, and she said, "Why don't you get off your butt and come to church with me?" So that was my first spiritual experience. So she got me going back, and then, but I do a lot of, spiritually today, I do a lot of prayers in the morning, and I also, I read the literature every morning, and I'm still, I'm still experimenting with things. I'm trying to get into some meditation. I recently, just in the last few weeks, I found a good site that it's actually based on something that came before the 12 steps, and that was the Oxford group, and they have a little thing that, and so I'll put my phone number in the chat, and I don't want to mention it here. It's not really OA. It's AA. Well, it's 12 step thing, but it's not OA approved or anything. So I'll put my, if you're interested in it. The funny thing was, like I used to do, I kind of got into my old habit of, I'd really be struggling with a problem, and I'd go to the library and get about that many books, and I'd read them all, and then I wouldn't do anything. I could not make a decision in my life, and that's the grateful thing today. I can make decisions in my life. I don't always make the right decisions, but I can live my life today. That's very important, of course. So I so well, the other things I do, spiritual nature, I do, I'm trying to think what I didn't do. I get some daily readers that come, I get on with line, from through my email. And so I want to have I want to have that connection, that spiritual contact every day, because I need it in my life. It doesn't matter how many years I've been here, but every day I got to get up and make that decision whether I'm going to work the program and stay abstinent and work and be in recovery or not. That's a daily, I mean, I'm grateful I got one day abstinence today. My mind didn't think like that before I came in the program. I was either in left field or right field. Actually, I was either thinking about the past or the future. I just wasn't there. And so, and that was the big thing, was the fact that I had a daily connection. And the interesting thing is, the very church I left, the actual building, I'm back at it now, and I'm real active there, and they haven't thrown me out, so I'm grateful. So, it's just how my spirituality worked. Let's see. Okay. We're up to what it's like now. Well, I've had to rely on this program an awful lot over the last couple of years. Been very difficult. I had 2 years ago, actually, I mentioned earlier about I really wanted to give service this weekend, because 2 years ago, as of Wednesday, is my wife's anniversary. She passed away, and the 11th was her birthday. That happened 2 years ago, I was able to get through it absent. And then my brother, who my brother, he's my only brother, and we're only 11 months apart, Irish twins. So we were like, he passed away last fall, and so the two people closest to me, I lost, and if they, that was right around the time of COVID, and if I and they, people had started up the Zoom meetings. And Alice was home with me the last 4 months in hospice here, and I was there was nights I was just totally overwhelmed. I mean, it just was, I was beside myself, and I could always go on the meeting and hook up to a late night meeting, like out in California. And like I've said before, thank God for those crazy California people. I was able to get a lot of recovery from those late meetings, and go to bed without thinking any more about eating. So that I'm very grateful for. Let's see, gratitude examples. I have a about do we have 10 minutes yet, or is it?
You have actually about 15 minutes, but if you finish early, we can take
Okay.
questions.
Okay. I could sing, but you don't want that, believe me. So I have the things I'm grateful for today, it's amazing because of this program that even with difficult things in my life, I had to write it down, the pluses that came from that. And because of what I've gone through over the last couple of years, and also I had prostate cancer about 10 years ago, and that's another story, because I was waiting to hear my diagnosis, and it was a very nice day, and I was speaking at a meeting, and it was about a half hour drive, and I went through the park all the way out there. This follows the river where I'm, it's the same park system I work for. So I drove through there, and I got there early, and it was just amazing. I got there, and then I went for a nice walk. Got my, and that's something I didn't mention, but I do try to stay active as much as possible. Walk, and I do other things, to stay active, and because I think that's really important. And I don't run any marathons or anything, but I do stay active. And so I got out there and I walked, and it was still early. So I said, okay, maybe I can read something. So I'm sitting in the car, and I picked, the only book I had in the car was my big book. So I opened it randomly, and it opened up to page 417, the acceptance prayer. And that, that got me through that whole period of time. And it was, I read it every day. I still carry and use it. I have an acceptance prayer in my wallet. And you'll get to hear it tonight, because I'm going to close with the acceptance prayer when I do. I really like finishing with that. It's always a great reminder for me. And so I'm running out of things to say, but I do have a lot of gratitude, and it's just amazing over the last couple of years how many people from Frogan have called me and supported me, over the last couple of years of what's going on. Because my brother was, a lot of people knew my brother Bill too, and he knew Alice. My wife was in Frogan. She was in Al-Anon for almost as long as, we were married 49 years, but she was a great person for somebody who was working on a 12-step program. She was a great person to have, because she was always reaching out and helping people. She was a great example for me. She was a nurse for 49 years, and she was in Al-Anon for like 40 years. And she was always supportive of my program. And I know for some people that doesn't always happen with the family, but I was so fortunate to have her and have her, in my life. And I'm not saying our marriage or anything was perfect. By any means it wasn't, but it was just, and sometimes I have to confess, sometimes you don't realize how a good a person was until they're gone. You start to really look back a little bit more, and that's okay. I mean, I think that's kind of, you just go through, things are busy in life, and you don't sit there and say, gee, she helped me here, she helped me there, she did this. And so, it's about all I have to say. But let's see, service this weekend. I just want to again say thank you to these, to the people here tonight, and thank you for you coming out on a Sunday night and trying to get recovery. And I always tell people, keep coming back. We can't get the miracle if we are not here. And I really believe sometimes people come here, they come here with a, you know, they come here with a, you know, looking for a reason to stay or a reason to leave. And I know maybe the meeting's not for everybody, but give it a chance. They always mention six meetings, and if you're not happy with the meeting, you know, try another one, you know. So, but I just have, I've had so much, you know, recovery, and it's changed my life, no question about it. I already said it helps me. It just helps me, you know, live my life. It just really, I didn't have much of a life. I really didn't. And so, let's see. I and also the service. I mentioned the service, and it doesn't have to be any thing. I used to pick up people and drive them to a meeting and things like that. And you know, I have one really good lady, Annie. Annie was she was blind, and I would take her to the meeting, and I felt awful because the first night I took her, I thought I was doing a great deal. I'm not used to leading a person. I imagine the dog would have done better than me that night, but I was leading her in the meeting, and I ran her into the door. So I said, "Oh God!" But we survived it. And she rode with me for a number of years to the meetings. And so little things like that, you know, you don't have, we don't have to, you know, it's just helping somebody, you know, share the gifts of the program. So I have two things I'm going to read and finish with. And with all the stuff going on, I heard somebody at a meeting, it was, I think it was the Virtual Region Convention or something. It was and all the crazy stuff going on, you know, because my Alice was sick through COVID, and you know, last time she's in the hospital, I couldn't go see. There was just so much crazy stuff going, and there still is. It's just amazing what's going on today. And I thought this might help. He talks. It's from the big book, page 450, the bottom page. It's the story. He lived only to drink, and you know, he talked about separating our his sobriety, our abstinence, from what's going on in the world with us. So I'm going to read it, and then I'll read the acceptance prayer, and I'll be done. So my resentments mounted at the realization that I had flushed a career down the drain, disgraced and alienated my family, had and been relegated to the meanest of institutions, a Skid Row shelter. But I was also able to realize that this bonfire of resentment and rage was beckoning me to pick up a drink and plunge into my death. Then I realized that I had to separate my sobriety from everything else that was going on in my life. No matter what happened or didn't happen, I couldn't drink. In fact, none of these things that I was going through had anything to do with my sobriety. The tides of life flow endlessly. For better or worse, both good and bad, and I cannot allow my sobriety to become dependent on these ups and downs of living. Sobriety must live a life of its own. So that really, you know, I read that. I really believe my higher power is working in my life all the time because they put that speaker in front of me, and you know, he read that page, and I read it a lot. Because of all the craziness going on. And so I'm going to close with the acceptance prayer. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thanks.